Tom, a crazy weekend. So much going on in the sports world. Of course, we got CFL ready to kick off. The Jays were back at home for the first time. Also, Evander Kane had kind of a crazy weekend for him. His estranged ex-wife went on social media. Then she deleted the post, but claimed that he had bet on his own games. Then he says, no, I didn't. I'll fully help with the investigation. The NHL very quickly says, we'll look into this. Much quicker than they said they would look into the Chicago Blackhawks, just as a side note. But, then there's a story saying some Shark players maybe don't even want him back, according to Kevin Kerr. So that's the crazy offseason in the NHL continues.
Yeah, this is more drama unfolding. And we can't look away from this because every time we hear Evander Kane's name pop up, even though he played well last year, Greggs, and he is a talented player, has been in this league for a long time, his name pops up, and it's usually for something bad. Obviously, we heard about his bankruptcy in around March or May around there, and his gambling debts are unbelievable. And then, you know, his estranged wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, with that claim on social media the other day, and you're going, oh my goodness, now what? Now what? And, you know, much to the chagrin of his advisors, he put out that statement the other day. He probably just wanted to get something off his chest. But then today, the Diversity Hockey Alliance announced that he's taking a leave of absence as he was trying to be a part of that group. Not good. And then on top of this, Kevin Kurz, Kevin, he's on the beat in San Jose. He's pretty dialed in. And if guys are telling him that they want Evander Kane gone, this isn't a one-off for Kane either. We heard about Buffalo and Kane in Winnipeg and how that all kind of devolved, if you will. So this is just a bad situation. And it doesn't look good for the game. The gambling thing automatically, that Pete Rose stuff comes to mind. And I know Pete Rose is a little bit different scenario, but every time we hear Kane's name, Greggs, it's never a positive thing, is it?
Well, his play on the ice actually this year, he was their best forward. It wasn't even close. I watched a lot of the Sharks games. He was their best forward. But if you're showing up late for practice and games continually, if that's indeed the case, well, that's obviously an issue because then you have, especially when a team's losing, I hate to say it, when you're losing, things get magnified even more. So, we'll kind of see where it goes. It would be how he played on the ice, teams would have a lot of interest in him. However, mm-hmm. that's only one part of the equation for a player. And if if any of the allegations come true, and we'll see. That's why, I don't believe they're 100% true. Let's just wait. This is a little bit different. You don't see these type of allegations. Every situation's different. Unfortunately, when it's very rare that people falsely accuse someone of rape. That's a little bit different. But situation like this, how often does it happen, right? Maybe it's true. Who knows? Maybe it's a strange ex-wife. They're just battling, and so away you go. But, we'll kind of see what happens. And let's say hypothetically he did. If he bet on his team to win, I don't really have an issue with that. I know it might sound dumb, but I'm he's bet on his team to win. They believe they should win every game, right? So whatever. But as a forward, I'm just not sure how much he could impact his team losing. You know what I mean? I'd have to go back and go through all their losses and say, okay, here, did Kane serve up a pizza giveaway to give a guy another breakaway? Cause if you just miss a pass, that doesn't mean your goalie's going to let the goal in anyway, right? So yeah. I just don't know in hockey how much. I know when the officials in the NBA, right, that's different because they're the one handing out free throws. And we all know that the likelihood of a free throw being successful is much higher than even a breakaway being successful.
Right. And here's the thing, too. I mean, his reputation is spotty to begin with. This just adds a new layer to all of this. And I think regardless if he's cleared of this allegation from his soon-to-be ex-wife, I think, this will be something where he'll be under the microscope basically till he's done playing in the NHL, I think, just out of suspicion. And I think that's natural instinct from people in general. And, he hasn't done a lot off the ice to really win over the public. And so I think that's why it'll dog him for the rest of his career.
Oh, yeah, 100%. At some point, you got to grow up and mature, yeah, and figure things out. And, you know, it did look like his play on the ice was better last year because it came out in the open that he was bankrupt. And that was probably a big relief, you know, off of his shoulders. You're not living a lie every day. If you have to live a lie every day, I'm sure that wears on you. I would think, yeah, it would wear down somebody for sure. Now, some other things. Tom Gazzola joins us. The Olympics, the women's soccer. They move on. They defeat the United States in the semifinal now, and it's perfect timing, by the way. 8 o'clock Edmonton time Thursday night. Canada will take on Sweden for the gold medal game in soccer, which would be like the perfect swan song potentially for Christine Sinclair. If you know, that'd be a great way to go out for her in her career. And really, like, I remember the 2012 game still because you don't see hat tricks very often in soccer, and that was, you know, there's still one of the strangest calls I've ever seen. On Canadian's goaltender for holding the ball too long, like that's never,
yes,
called. But man, talk about redemption, because I don't know if you watched the game or not, Tom. I recorded it because it was on in the middle of the night. I got up and I watched like the first 50 minutes and I'm like, ooh, jeez, this isn't going to go good. Like, the U.S. were dominating, and then Canada just slowly started to get some opportunities and scored a big penalty kick, and then they win the game. And Stephanie LeBay in goal, I think she's been Canada's MVP in this tournament.
She was, under fire. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but clutch when she needed to be. There was a couple opportunities in tight where she leapt up and punched the ball out of the air. And I thought that was, when the goal went in was one thing in terms of excitement, pride for the country. Obviously, Canada's biggest rival is the U.S. But when they hung on and you heard that final whistle and then the sheer jubilation, like, unbelievable. And you bring up Christine Sinclair. We all remember 2003 when a lot of the women that went on to prominent careers for the national program were just starting out here. And yeah, to see this kind of be bookended, if she goes out with a gold medal, would be absolutely amazing. And they've captured the hearts of every Canadian. And how many young girls have been inspired to take up soccer because of what our women's program has done, and Sinclair has spearheaded that. I hope they win Thursday night, obviously. Maybe a little bit of redemption, and what a perfect opportunity. This is absolutely phenomenal what they've been able to accomplish and totally well-earned. This is a tremendous story. And, hey, the women leading the way for us at the Olympics. I know the guys were starting to pick it up a little bit. DeGrasse, obviously, we're going to be watching him in track and field. And this has been, some good moments, at least for Canada, especially on the women's side, really kicking butt. Let's see the women do it on the soccer side, too, for us.
Tom Gazzola joins us, Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Tommy, I was looking at the Oilers forwards depth, and with the addition of Hyman and Fogel, the potential of Holloway, then you've got Kasson and Yamamoto, two guys I think want to bounce back. Same with Nugent Hopkins. Like, Edmonton finished ninth in the NHL in 5-on-5 scoring last year. There's a chance they could be a top five team. This is the most offensive depth that any Oiler coach has had in 15 years.
Without question. Absolutely. Flexibility. You can slide guys in and out, at times. That's the thing too, Greg's. And if I say this to you, do we get too wrapped up in line combinations and thinking that they need to be set in stone? Because we've seen Dave Tippett in the middle of a game switch things up, a period in, a period and a half in. Obviously, if they're down a goal with 10 minutes to go, they're going McDavid and Draisaitl together on a line, and they're rotating someone through on the right side. So, yes, the depth is there, but do we get too caught up in the line combinations? Because, I say that, flexibility has been a theme in terms of the forward units over the last couple of years since Ken Holland, Dave Tippett have taken over. Obviously now, like you said, there is legitimate depth there and some scoring threats in the third line as well. I really like Fogel. I like what he does around the net. I was watching his highlights from the last 2 years. Good touch around the net. Scores the greasy goals. So now all of a sudden you might have three scoring lines. And if the Oilers were top 10 in 5-on-5 scoring, and they're only going to improve that if they're tilting the ice too, controlling the play, having the puck on their sticks, it's only onwards and upwards for them. And so the threat of them being a three-line offensive team is pretty good. And then, again, I think the theme will be flexibility, and we'll see what kind of combinations might come out of this. I like the idea of Holloway starting in the minors, but if he just outright takes a spot from one of these guys, how can you deny him? He's a high-end talent. I know they really like him when they had him in Bakersfield briefly, and let him dictate where he plays. But I'm one to not rush him along because you've got a lot of options right now.
Well, they have options, but if Holloway comes in and earns a spot, you know what? That means potentially Nugent Hopkins can play center if they need be. There's lots of options here. There's some wild cards in Holloway. I think Kyle Turse is going to get a chance to play with skilled forwards in training camp. Maybe he has nothing left, Tom. Maybe he has nothing left. But his shot's his best weapon, and I think he'll get a look. I really do. So who knows if it lasts or not. That's going to totally be up to him. But from everything I'm hearing, you know, Turris is you know, pretty highly motivated. He's, you know, he's working his tail off in the off season. Not saying that he didn't work it off before, but this year is just different. Guys didn't get to train to the level they wanted to train last year because of COVID in certain places. So, I'm kind of fascinated. Like, I think there's like 11 or 12 possibilities who could be in your top nine for Edmonton. And yeah. I don't think we could say, and guys who could actually produce double digit goals, which is something you haven't seen in a lot. Well, like I said, 15 years, you got to go back a long way before this team had some real depth.
what a 15 years it has. But as for Turris, you're right. He has been working hard. He's been skating at the rink basically since the start of July. I know there's a bunch of players that are in town or have been popping in and out of town, and they've been skating, training basically since July 1st. So, he's fighting for his career, Gregs. Let's see what he can do. A motivated player's the best player, especially one with a lot of experience, but he's going to have to earn it big time because there's a pecking order in front of him after what happened last year. And, it's going to be a steep hill to climb, but let's see what happens. Good competition coming up in camp in a month and a bit here. It's coming up quick.
It is, just like the regular season for the CFL. Starts on Thursday, Elks home opener on Saturday, and I have never felt any less prepared for a season, and because you haven't seen any teams, so
exactly.
You haven't seen any teams in almost 2 years, so you don't really know. I've seen on paper and stuff. You know, I saw Mike Riley held out again. Winnipeg's going to have to start the season without their top two running backs. So, you know what? There's going to be a lot of changes. Sounds like Matt Nichols will be the starter for Ottawa on Saturday when they come to Edmonton. So, you know, that's another little juicy storyline that some people will touch on to. But, I'm interested, like, especially the battles on the O-line and D-line. There's a lot of changes on a lot of teams. And that's why, to me, it's fascinating. Because if you don't have a good O-line offensively, it's really hard to have success.
Yeah, Gregs, you're not the only one in that boat where you're just looking at this CFL season going, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's see what they do starting this week. It's weird. 2 years without playing, and that leaves a lot of question marks. So at least it's here. A little bit of direction in terms of cancellations. I know you'll probably talk about that today, but I'm excited for Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun. And let's see where this season goes. Not putting a lot of clout into the prognosticators and where they think teams are going to wind up this season, because it could be all over the map.
Tommy, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Sounds good, Greg. See you tomorrow.